the average for vaginal sex was 3 to 7 minutes. That seems sad. Short.
Yeah, real short.
It's funny how, like, how much you could prioritize a whole day around something that would only last 3 to 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Only for those nerds.
You're talking in a way, you sound like the 40-year-old virgin right now. I know, right? You know, like when you grab a bag of sand.
Me love you long time.
Oh no, my internet keeps
me so
stopping.
Horny, me so stupid. Welcome back, everyone, to S1E1, a show where each week we pick a different sitcom, watch just the first televised episode, and forgetting anything we might know about the future run of that show, rate it and decide if it's a show we want to greenlight or cancel. This week we're going to be talking about Herman's Head. Herman's Head went 72 episodes over 3 seasons on Fox. Today we're talking about episode 1, which is called Pilot, originally airing September 8th, 1991. So to get things started, I'm Jay Gags. With me, as always, the boys, some of them, Gordo and Ferg. What's going on, guys? No Nick or Joe this week. One of our rare three-man episodes.
We're dropping like flies.
We are. What's up?
First off with Joe, he wanted to be here. So in his town, every once a year, they have a big karaoke competition. And he's been super nervous about it. And this year he's doing I'm Your Baby Tonight by Whitney Houston. And he's been struggling with, like, there's a part at the end where it gets really fast. The looks like I'm fatal. It's all on the table. And baby, you hold the cards. Like that part. He keeps like fumbling up on it. So we told him, you know what? Take the day off. You know, get ready for that. And good luck with that competition. As for Nick, he just has stomach issues.
Damn, Jay, you should have coached him with that.
I was going to. Yeah, he didn't. I was going to come by, but I didn't want to be overbearing. And he didn't ask. So I just figured this was the better approach.
Didn't want to use the S1E1 star power, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to overshadow. So Herman's Head, Gordo, your pick, right?
Yes.
What drove you to pick this the show? Were you just Googling weird shows again?
Correct. Just Googling weird shows. And
were all the Simpsons tie-ins a coincidence? Did you not realize that when you picked it?
No, I didn't realize that when I picked it.
This was actually on my list of shows to do, and he beat me to it, which, you know, freed me up to pick something else. So thanks, Gordo. And now this evil ain't on me.
I was going to say, so yeah. I couldn't avoid watching this fucking show no matter what.
No.
I don't know if I knew this show existed at all. And
that was part of the reason why I picked it. I remember the show existing. I know I've seen it, but I don't recall anything about it. Like the flyer, I remember, like the guy's in his head.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Just, I mean, it was early 90s. We were young. You know what I mean? Like, when this came out, like, super young. We're 5, 6 years old. But for it to go 3 seasons, 72 episodes, first, I can't believe that happened. I don't know how this show lasted that long. But usually a show that has, like, that kind of run, like, would be on my radar a little bit. And I really have no recollection of the show existing.
I remember it. I don't remember details about it. I remember it existing, and then I watched a trailer for it. I was like, oh, this is great. But at the time when I decided I was going to pick this, I was still undefeated. I could not risk losing my undefeated streak. So now,
Yeah, this would be a big risk.
Yeah, I would safe to say let me pick it if you wanted to keep your crown. Although I could probably guarantee Nick is probably going to cancel it, and Joe is probably going to greenlight it.
I mean, we will find out in due time. I mean, regardless of the fact that they're not here, well, later in the week, if you go to S1E1pod.com or S1E1pod on Instagram and X, you will. We put up a graphic that has our final votes, regardless of whether or not you're here for the episode or not. So be sure to check those out, S1E1pod, again, on Instagram and X. Yeah, you know, another thing about the show, too, the fact that it was 1991, and I don't know if it's maybe it's because it's like the version we watched, which you can find this on YouTube. It's a little bit lesser in quality, but it felt like an earlier show. It's like it felt more like if you told me this was from like 87, 88, that would have made more sense to me. Just the overall vibe of it.
Yeah.
It felt a lot like the same timeline as Perfect Strangers, like that era, which I believe was late 80s. I don't know. It's been so long since we covered it. I believe that was episode 2.
four.
No, three.
four. Episode one was Friends.
It was a top five. Yeah.
No, we started. No, Friends was episode one. Dinosaurs was two.
Two, you're right.
Home Improvement was three. And then four was Perfect Strangers.
Yeah, trivia for you people out there.
If you want to go back and listen to the old episodes, you're more than free to. Just keep in mind, we didn't find our footing yet. So,
hey, we're at 156 now. All right, we've come a long way.
I do think the early episodes, I guess it's because you're always going to be self-critical. So, like, I listen to it, I'm like, oh, like I could have did a better job there. But I think they're not bad. Like, they're not cringy. It's just not our best foot. If that was the first thing you heard from us.
If you like our content, but you feel our episodes are too long, watch those. They're nice and short.
They're way shorter than our early episodes.
Dude, they're like 40 minutes a pop.
Yeah. This show, IMDb 7.2, which I found really surprising. Rotten Tomatoes had a season one score only, not like a total series.
What an odd thing.
17% for critics. No, which doesn't surprise me for a critic score. No, there was no average rating for like people.
I mean, with those ratings, it must get better. Maybe it's just a pilot. They don't have a lot invested in it. And
there's a lot of things as we touch on them, like that I think could have been worked on. And I guess we'll get into that as we go along with the episode. But like overall, to me, the execution of the show is not done super well.
But the concept of the show isn't the worst.
Not necessarily, no.
It's a great concept, poor execution. It's a prime example because this is almost the same plot as the Disney movie Inside Out, which is just all the...
It's like speculative that this show was the inspiration for that, which... take that for what it's worth, but that could just be people drawing like a conclusion that's, you know, not really there.
I mean, I saw the connection, so...
Tinfoil hats there, that's a reach.
To get into the episode itself, William Ragsdale plays Herman, the main character of the show. And I guess just to fill you guys in, but yeah, the basic premise of the show is Herman is just a guy who works as an editor in an office. And throughout the episode and throughout his life, we just keep cutting to inside his head, quote unquote. And there's four people who live in his brain that like represent four different like parts of him, like anxiety and... What were the four? It was
lust,
anxiety, intellect, and sensitivity.
Yeah.
I believe they add more over time, but I'm not positive on that.
Well, in this one here, with those four, what I thought was weird is, so they have those four parts of his brain, right? And they're all represented by, you know, different actors who play those parts of him. And then they name them all. But the names for them are, lust's name is animal. And anxiety's name is Wimp, and intellect is Genius, sensitivity is Angel. Like, why give them other weird... If you're not going to give them real names, just let the names be Lust and Intellect and stuff. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't get that either. But here we are. Did you guys get... I mean, the people that play him were really... I thought it was really good, and the inside the head, like they all have their own spots and stuff. Like, it's really interesting.
I don't like it that much at all. I thought Lust kind of reminded me of like a Artie Lang type.
Yeah, I was going to say a Bobo John Belushi.
Yeah, I mean, that realm. Horatio Sands also, I guess, could play him.
Yeah.
Just say the loud fat guy.
No, because not all loud, because Chris Farley, no.
Do you know who he is? The guy that plays Animal?
No.
So do you remember the scene in Home Alone when he goes to meet Santa, but he's getting in his car and it's the other guy and he's like...
That's the Santa?
Yeah, that's the fake Santa that he gives him Tic Tacs.
Oh, nice.
That's my one little fun fact.
Well, that's the most fun I'm going to have talking about the show, so... So we start off with the intro, and it's weird. It's almost like the intro starts with, it almost looks like just the scene for the, like, is starting.
Like a commercial.
And it comes off like a trailer. Like, this is Herman Brooks. Herman is just like the rest of us. Every day he has to make all kinds of decisions, like what to wear, whom to date, and when to panic. Now, these decisions should be easy, but if you take a look inside Herman's head, and then you, like, pan into his brain, and you see all the people... You'll see why sometimes he has trouble making up his mind. and then you have all four of the people introduce themselves. I'm Herman's intellect. Without me, he couldn't hold his job, pay his rent, or tie his shoes. I'm Herman's sensitivity. Without me, he wouldn't feel tenderness, honesty, or love, the good things in life. I'm Herman's anxiety, and I keep him out of trouble. And believe me, there's trouble everywhere. I'm Herman's lust. Without me, he'd miss out on all the good stuff. You know, food, fun, babes.
I wish there was like a clear-cut leader in the head.
Yeah.
Because when they all like argue about a decision, they don't say like who gets the final decision. Like how do they control that? I know that there's representations, but
there seemed to be like a microphone that they were using at one point in the show. And maybe it's whoever gets a hold of the microphone.
I don't know. I didn't pick up on that. You would want to think intellect prevails, but that's not how like the human body works in general. So
I know mine doesn't always.
Also, too, I don't think lust controls your food. More gluttony.
I don't know.
Well, they're gonna lump some stuff together because they had to get it into four. So, but yeah, maybe lust was the wrong word to use to like put all that stuff. Like maybe could have been something what would it be? Self control, like whatever the lack of self control would be.
The opposite of self control.
Would that be the ego?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a better word, but I'm completely drawing a blank at the moment.
It's been a long time since psychology or parts of the brain.
The medulla oblongata.
That's rage.
So then after that intro, we get to there's like a scene that in the elevator, and you see Herman standing there in the middle. And I guess his boss, Mr. Crawford, is standing in front of him. As soon as we see them, it cuts to like in Herman's head. And what I didn't really, here's what I didn't like about it. It was all shot in this one giant room. It like was echoey. It felt like it was a play. Like whenever they went to in his head, it felt like it was a play. Like it was always just that one big room where they're all together. And the backdrop of it all felt like it was very local access television, like just random plants and things like everywhere. Like nothing made sense. It was just stuff.
Herman's head and it's empty. That's why it's all dark. It's just an empty head. And those are the personalities that fill it.
They had their own areas, though, like the intellect had like a chalkboard area. The sensitivity had like a swing set. Artie Lang had like a lazy boy couch.
But it was still all just one giant empty room.
Well, where are they going to go? They're in his head. It's not like there's different rooms in your head.
We're going to play the what I would have done game because I like to do that. I would have had two fake eye holes where you can see what he's seeing.
Oh, yeah, so, that would be good.
Like the being John Malkovich type approach?
Yeah.
I like that. I would have eventually liked to see them. I forget which show, and it was a children's show, and it wasn't Inside Out, but they did something similar where there's like a command center. Maybe it's SpongeBob, where they are in like a command center, and like they're pulling certain strings, and then he's doing stuff because of it. That would have been a little bit better, too.
Could have had it maybe like where they were almost in a theater watching what's going on in like through his eyes like as if they're
Mystery
in a movie
Science 3000 style.
Could have did something like that.
I want one episode where they just pull a button and he just rips farts.
That's what should have happened on the elevator with the bus.
Yeah, like Animal should have fallen down and he went uh-oh and then fell down and you hear like burp.
Yeah, all right. I mean, yeah, this first scene where we're back there, we're in his brain is when we're getting like the introduction to all the characters. And it's, I don't know, like I said, I just felt like I was watching a play on stage.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that like, I don't know if it's because of just the nature of the characters, but at all times it feels like Lust kind of takes over, like Animal's character. Because he's like the more extreme version, and he's always just like, you know, wake me up when you get to the hookers and stuff like that. So it's just.
So they lean on him because he's the comic relief. No, it goes. I can only imagine it gets flanderized and way worse later.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just all him all the time.
But it's sort of like a battle between him and like the intellect guy.
Well, I mean, all of them, really. I mean, they represent different parts. I mean, they all kind of team up in different ways at different times, yeah, depending on what's going on. There's a point where Animal's talking about like he's frustrated because of some date that Herman's been putting off for 3 weeks. And the girl who plays Sensitivity was like, well, in my opinion, Sally Cooper's a slut. And he's like, we share that opinion. I did think that was funny, but
the wrong person said it. I don't think that's very sensitive of Sensitivity.
I guess, yeah.
The problem is that there's too many things that they cover lumped together. Do you know what I mean? Like the person that governs, but she governs honesty. So if you're going to be honestly speaking, your honesty thinks she's a slut.
Yeah, maybe not give them names like Lust and Sensitivity. It could just, you know what I mean? Like, because if you didn't make it so pigeonholed, like you could just say, hey, I'm Animal and I'm in charge of blah, 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 blah. And, you know, this way, when we get to situations like this, we're like, well, these groupings don't make sense. Also, this is a situation where this is a sitcom about people living inside his brain and dictating his decisions, and we're trying to find logic, which, as we've talked about a million times, sometimes there just isn't any, and especially there's like this kind of era of television where a lot of weird shows came out. It's near impossible.
What's strange is they're supposed to all be emotions, but they seem to be connected just in every way, because when he has to sneeze on the elevator, they all know about it and they all do it with him.
Yeah, that's how it like closed out, was like, hey, like, you know, first I you know, we're going to sneeze. They all together like the huh, and then it cuts to Herman again in the elevator and he sneezes apparently all over his bus.
See, that would have been so much funnier if he was like, hey, I'm going to fall down. And then you hear like, brr.
I mean, I disagree, but like, I think we've covered this. There's a very big line in the sand when it comes to how much we find where we sit on the fart joke humor.
Okay, but you know, a fart on an elevator is always funny.
It is. Especially if your boss is there.
Maybe not the way.
No, not Gordo's way. I'm gonna fall. Why?
Look,
fall?
You're laughing. See, you're thinking about it, and you're going, you know, that would have been funnier.
I'm laughing because it's funny to do Animal's voice.
I know we're gonna be doing Animal's voice all day.
Well, it's not a fart. It is a sneeze. They come off the elevator. And as they're walking, it's kind of one of those elevators that take you right into the big open office. We've seen like a lot of shows that are kind of that sort of setup. And you're on that main floor where the office is. And one of the first people we meet is this guy, Jay, played by Hank Azaria. That's what I mentioned earlier. If you knew about all these Simpsons tie-ins, Hank Azaria does, I don't know, half the voices on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like one of the best. I think we've covered him on other shows. Other than The Simpsons, I'm pretty sure.
I think maybe he popped up on another show, but now I'm drawing a blank. As we get deeper and deeper into how many shows we've done, I am finding my ability to remember a lot of the details is starting to slide.
Yeah, it's not just me.
I can still remember all the shows we did, though. You guys, like, think we've covered shows that we haven't and vice versa. Like, I still am pretty good with the actual shows specifically that we've done.
That's just Berg, though. I remember the shows. In most of the shows, it's been the first time I've watched it, so.
It's not that I forget shows we covered, it's that I add shows that we didn't cover.
especially.
Yeah, that's
I'm
true.
Just losing my mind.
Also, when they get to, like, the main part of the office, we meet with Mr. Bracken, who's, like, the boss of that area. Because Mr. Crawford is, I'm trying to, like, remember, like, the real dynamic, because I got confused by it later on.
He's like the Mr. Wick of this show. He's the big boss.
Yeah, he's the editor. And the other guy's the editor of that department.
Well, they're all editors, but Mr. Bracken watches over that department, and then I guess Mr. Crawford oversees the whole operation or something. But Mr. Bracken, you might remember as the lawyer from Liar Liar.
I don't.
Did you see Liar Liar?
I think we all saw it in theaters. Berg, did you see it in theaters? Because if you did, then I definitely did.
I'm pretty sure I saw Liar Liar in the theater.
So that means I saw it in theaters.
Well, I'm glad we've established that then. So the phone rings in the office, and the like secretary, or I don't know what she is like, because I think she's just in charge of research.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Louise, because it seems like whenever they call Louise's desk, she's there to like confirm, like she's supposed to like fact check. But I don't think she's like the receptionist, but she's played by Yeardley Smith, who, again...
Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa from The Simpsons, which it's like, it's so funny because that's one of the times where, like, Hank Azaria does a bunch of voices, but none of them are quite his voice. She basically just, she's Lisa, but that's her real voice. So when you see her talking, all you do is you just, you can't get Lisa out of your brain when you see her talk.
Yep.
Nice to see Lisa hanging out with Apu.
He's not Apu anymore.
Anymore? At the time he was.
At the time he was. Yeah. Now he's just everybody else.
So was this on? This was on at the same time as The Simpsons, wasn't it?
Yeah, on Fox too, so.
Good for them. Probably got a good chunk of change from this show.
I mean, the fact that this show like legitimately did have a bit of a run, yeah, I mean, not bad for, you know, both of them. Good gig on the same lots and stuff, right? So I don't know how many, like, yeah, they both are in every episode as I'm looking at it, so yeah. 72 episodes for both of them. But yeah, the phone rang and then she's picking up and it's just, yeah, it's fact checking, like I said before. So, but someone's asking about like the plagues and whenever this happens a few times throughout the episode, Mr. Bracken like walks by and knows the answer to just about anything. So when she's going to look up Moses and the 10 plagues, he just starts rifling them all off. Blood, frogs, flies, lice, like just, you know, he knows seemingly everything.
And they speak at the same time, too. Like, yeah. As he's saying it, she's repeating.
She's repeating it to the person who called, yeah. I like his justification for knowing it. He's like, my mother's Jewish. And then as he leaves, he's like, what's that smell? And we come to find out later when she's talking to Herman that she had said that she read in an article that men are sexually attracted to these chemicals called pheromones. So he bought a new perfume with sheep pheromones in them. He's like, do I smell like a wild woman? He's like, wild's a good word. Gamey is another word.
She essentially just sprayed herself with sheep's piss.
Yeah, possibly.
Just stinks like
sheep piss.
Because, yeah, that other girl, Hetty, walks in and she's like, are you dating a shepherd?
No, have you guys spent any time around sheep?
It's a weird way to...
No, like, I have not spent any time
more
with
than
sheep.
The average person, or like at like fairs and petting zoos. Sure,
yes, at like fairs and petting zoos.
Yeah, but other than that, like not extended
sheep
time.
Smell real bad.
They do stink.
You know, you guys should come to the sheep shearing festival.
Oh, I forgot that you do that.
It's coming up.
Have you talked about it on here before? I want to say you might have, but do you want to enlighten the people what the sheep shearing festival is?
Ah, yes. So there is a mansion in a couple of towns over from us that have a flock of sheep. There's like a historic mansion and they have a bunch of sheep. And every summer they have to get shorn. So they have a sheep shearing festival where they shear all their sheep and like vendors come out and stuff. And it's kind of a fun day.
So what do? You just watch them?
I walk around.
Well, what is there to do?
So you can watch them get shorn. They have a dog.
That's fun for you. You want to watch me shave my ascot?
My wife really likes sheep.
Okay, but I'm out of curiosity. What things do you do while you're there?
So you watch the sheep.
Okay, so they shave them.
Yep, and then they have a dog
sitting there. There's a dog.
No, they have like the sheep dogs. That like do the, and they basically do like tricks. So they'll have like a couple of sheep go out into a field and then the dog will like herd them into like a pen or like make them do like zigzag lines. And it's kind of interesting. There's like a whole pack of dogs that do that. Then they have vendors where like, you know, like artisan vendors, like, you know, that kind of thing.
Sheep tacos and stuff.
Surprisingly, no.
I don't want to eat a cute little sheep.
No, you don't eat the sheep.
What I was asking if there was sheep talk.
You're a bad girl.
No, but it's fun. You guys should definitely come this year.
I mean, that's just lamb, right? So
yes, sheep or lamb.
Big on lamb.
I love lamb.
I love lamb.
Veal's okay.
Well, veal is very different. Veal is a cow. But
you're thinking right. About arguing.
I know I'm right. Did you
were
unsure
right about that? I'm admitting, listen, baby steps here, all right? I'm admitting that you're right. I thought it was sheep.
I've always been a very big fan of lamb. I think we've had so many food conversations on here.
I do like lamb, though. It is good.
To go back into the episode, that girl, Hetty, did you recognize her? She played Carol on Friends.
No, I didn't watch Friends. I only saw that one episode.
So now Mr. Bracken is giving like some assignments out to everybody. And he's stressing the importance of all this because they need to fact check all these articles like by tomorrow. I forget how many like they get each, but Hedy was like very like, I don't know. She seems like almost has that like teacher's pet vibe when she talks to the boss and she's assuring that like, you know, she'll work all night if she has to. And you cut back into his head and you have Animal saying like, I don't like her. She's a snake and she's trouble. But I bet you she'd be great in the sack. Like, he's like, he's just a man. I don't know. Like, he's a little too much, like too like stripped down of like a simple minded. I'm a guy who likes sex. Like, I know, like,
but it's because he's specifically that.
I know. But it's like, it seems like he seems like such a character because of it. But yeah, Herman also then assures that he'll get his work done. And then Jay walks in again and he's telling Herman like, oh, fortune smiles on you. We're going to the opening of a new club tonight. He's like, oh, I can't, like, I'm working all night. And he's saying how there's a new position in Crawford's division and he wants that job. And like, this is his best chance to like make a good impression. He's like, oh, just take Connie. Like, the two of you can still go. Connie being Jay's girlfriend. He's like, oh yeah, Connie. Yeah, she can't go either. You know, call me if you change your mind. And he takes off. But right before he does, he goes, am I crazy or does something smell great in here? So that the sheep pheromones work on him.
Yeah, don't pheromones need to be human pheromones?
I don't know. I am no scientist.
When I'm scrolling through Reels on Instagram, every once in a while I get one for the like an ad for the soap with pheromones in it. Like, it's guaranteed to work. And I'm like, I don't want a bar of soap.
I just get the Dr. Squatch ones all the time.
I buy those.
How are they?
They make me smell great, the pine tar one. But what happens is you leave them in the shower and they melt. And then There's just like literally like green slime. Not slime, but it's like green lines going all the way down your tub.
Oh, so you and have to like buy like a like, case for them.
Yeah, I stopped buying it because of that. And I went back to just body wash.
Yeah, I was always wondering, the way they advertise, it's like, oh, it smells for guys, but I'm like, but is it, like, too much?
It smells great. I really enjoyed it. If it wasn't for that, I would still be using it. It made my skin really nice, too.
Maybe I'll consider. I get those ads all the time, and I do like to waste money.
I'll give you a friendly hint, though. Just get their normal flavors. Don't get any, like, get the Star Wars flavor, because they all smell the same. Or, like, they put out specialty boxes, and none of them smell good. You're just going to stick with their, like, normal flavor.
Yeah, because if they were really good scents, they would use them year-round anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just get whatever's on sale at, like, TJ Maxx or whatever. Sometimes I'll get those. Sometimes I'll get, like, the big-ass bar of soap, which is very inconvenient.
Right now I'm using this Old Spice stuff. It smells fantastic.
I am using, what am I using? The Lump of Coal, which is just this big-ass bar of soap by one of those companies.
Called the Lump of Coal?
It is called the Lump of Coal, and it's big and black, but it's too big. It is. It's way too big, and it's just awkward to hold in your hand. When you're rubbing it on your body, it's just hard.
Oh, no.
Oh, all right. Well, yeah, in any event, in the next scene, we're at Herman's house, and there's a knock at the door, and it's Connie. Connie, who we just found out is Jay's girlfriend, and she's being played by Corinne Bauer. I don't know how to say her name properly, Bauer, but we've covered her before. She was the main character in Free Spirit, the witch nanny show that we did back in October. And she's been in a bunch of other things, like with one of the police academies and stuff like that. She's popped up. She's actually had a decent career for her.
She was Booger's wife in Revenge of the Nerds, like 4 or 5. I don't know. One of them. I need Joe for that.
But yeah, she actually, and I thought when we watched, when we did Free Spirit, I felt like she could have been the lead in a show like that was good. Like, it wasn't her fault. It was just like another one of those like kind of shitty premise shows. And she was, unfortunately, that was her opportunity. And it just wasn't the show that worked out. But I thought she was very charismatic and stuff. So
yeah, unfortunately, she's a good actress. That wasn't the
project. Yeah. She walks in and she's telling Herman that she needs to talk to him. And she's like, oh, I'm not disturbing your work, am I? He's like, oh, no, like, this isn't like important. And, you know, you cut to in his head and this is like the conflict, right? So now you have like intellect saying like they have to, you know, we have to impress the boss. And then you have Lust saying, hey, we got a babe in the apartment. And I find that in, like, if you really think in real life, especially in those situations, like, you know, a good looking girl knocks on your door. It's so tough to be logical. It's just, it's so funny, like, stripped down how, like, simple and dumb animals we can be when it comes to that stuff.
Yeah, but at this time, that's, as far as he knows, that's his friend's girlfriend.
That is true.
That is true.
There's a lot of stuff that, like, as this progresses, a lot of weird conflict in my brain as to how I'm supposed to feel towards everybody at certain times.
They didn't follow the trope of making Hank Azaria a dick, which they should have done. Like, he's like, I mean, he's a little sleazy, but he's a nice guy and he's a good friend to him. So it's like, don't do that to him.
Yeah, well, that's what we find out. We find out she's there because he had an affair and she needs someone to talk to. It's weird because the way they portray him on the show, at least in this episode, whenever we see Jay, he's a nice guy.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, he doesn't sound like sleazy. He doesn't say all the typical stuff you get in sitcoms where he's like womanizing and making like terrible jokes. He just seems like, you know, for the most part, like a pretty good dude. We only know that he's sleazy through this one thing, and then that's it. So
they should have made him act a little more like the dude from that, what was that? That Bible show we did.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ago. Living Biblically, that guy.
Yeah, the dickhead guy in that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that.
I mean, that's the kind of role. Yeah, that's what he's supposed to be. Yeah. But they don't really portray him that way. And it was weird because she's telling Herman that Jay was out with another woman last night. Vicky Holloway told me. He's like, you're kidding. Who is he with? Vicky Holloway. So this girl ran up and told her, like, hey, I was out with your boyfriend last night. Like, that's.
Wow.
That's an interesting dynamic in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
Talk about a dick move.
And if it's presented that way, wouldn't Jay know that she knows? Like, or I guess they do, right? Because he was weird about it when Herman was like, oh, you can just go with her tonight. So.
Yeah, he never elaborated, but you could tell something was wrong.
You know, so as she's going over what happened to her and she's upset, she gives him a hug, like a tearful hug. And we get back to his brain and you have like, Animal going like, wait a minute, soft, round, we're holding a woman. This is not a drill. And then one of them's like, Connie hasn't given any overt sexual signals, so, you know, and neither have we. And he's like, yeah, well, if she keeps holding her body against us like that, she's gonna get an overt signal. I'm like, boner joke.
I wonder if he controls that. Like, he's
like, like he has sole control of the boners.
Yeah. Like, they all sneeze together. Do they all get boners?
No, I feel like anxiety is also there to ruin boners. So he probably has half boner control as well.
Who's boner?
That's called a callback.
But this is where I alluded to about the fart. If he controls the boner, he probably controls the fart.
You're trying to make the fart thing happen. We're not saying that he doesn't control farts. We're just saying in that scene, it didn't happen.
It's a little confusing because they do the sneeze thing and then they never show them all reacting the same as him throughout the rest of the episode. So I'm kind of confused how they work with in his body. Like,
yeah, it would be helpful if we got more of that.
You know, it's kind of weird in this scene too that they didn't quite get into, but you know, when he's when the lust guy is saying how, like, you know, this is the girl of our dreams, like, you know what I'm talking about, and the anxiety one's like, you mean the one where mom's spanking us? It's like, whoa, what?
Well, I think they all call him out on that too.
Yeah, because it was fucking weird. It's a weird thing to dream. Even I think our brains default to it being sexual now, and I don't think that's what they were going for at the time. Or at least my brain does because it's broken.
Yeah, mine went right to wet dreams or something like that. That's what I thought the line was gonna be.
So when it was the spanking thing, I don't think he meant it in that way. It was more like a trauma spanking, I guess, but still, like, just a weird thing.
Doesn't Herman say something about spanking now?
Well, yeah, because that's the thing. There are a couple times where what they're saying internally clutters his brain when he's trying to talk, so things don't come out right. And it happened a couple times and subtly, so I'm glad they didn't do it in a way that was too weird. But yeah, he's going, Connie, you know, maybe Jay just needs a good spanking. I'm sorry. If I don't know why I said spanking. I mean space, you know, so... Like, little times like that I thought were woven in pretty decently. And she's saying, you know what, Herman? I might just go out and have an affair myself. I'm just going to find the first man I see, rip his clothes off, and give him the night of his life. And what do you think? And then it cuts to his brain and it's Animal going, I think we need to get this girl some booze. and then it cuts to him, and it cuts to him going, how about a glass of wine? Which is
Animal's winning out.
Animal wins more than I would think in this episode.
He takes a big L in the end.
Yeah, but it takes them all holding him down and tying him up. We'll get to.
She's talking about this idea of like whether or not she should have the affair, and she's going back and forth about it. We go back into the brain, and you know, Animal saying that having an affair is a great idea. And which one was it? Was it sensitivity that was like, she's vulnerable, she's in pain, she'll do anything. And he's like, I know. Like, you know, a little over the line, but for the sake of 90s comedies. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that would fly today.
No, I'd say for the most part, no, that stuff wouldn't fly. I mean, I think it's virtually harmless and not meant to sound as date rapey as it comes off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, too, if you're trying to anthropomorphize the manifestation of base emotions, that would work.
It took, what, 45 seconds to say one sentence? What was that?
I'm still sleepy.
So I think ultimately he's telling Connie at first, like, I don't think this is the best idea. Like, maybe you need to go home, like, and just sleep on it a little bit. And she's like, you know, you're right. Like, hey, why don't we go out and have dinner tomorrow night? He's like, yeah, sure. Tomorrow's fine. Which seemed like a little weird because that felt like an overstep regardless. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, even like the fact that they were planning, because I don't know the dynamic of their friendship.
I was going to just say, it seems like they are also friends, and like, they're just friends who date, like, he dates his other friend, but he's friends with both of them. That's what I got. Because why would she come there to talk to him if they weren't already close? Yeah,
it's kind of a weird move why he's the person that she's confiding in.
Yeah, you don't get that story.
So she leaves, and then 2 seconds later, we get another knock at the door, and she's like, would it be okay if we just talked a little bit more?
This made me angry. I'm like, no, he has work to do. You leave.
Stop distracting him.
Here comes the fart.
No, well, what happens is now she's like actually talking, you know, and just kind of going, you know, unloading and venting towards him. And then you cut to inside of his brain. And you just see like all four of them are just kind of bored while she's going on and on about how, you know, he was the guy that she thought she could spend the rest of her life with and stuff.
Yeah, I like how all of them are like, hurry up, move it along.
The fact that like all of them felt that way, I thought was good.
Because they're all a little piece of Herman. So they're all a little messed up.
I'm surprised sensitivity felt that way, because I could see logic just wants him to do his work. Anxiety also wants him to do his work because he's nervous about his job.
But yeah, sensitivity, this is kind of what she lives for, right? It's this is like specifically what she loves.
And Lust just wants to bang, so he's bored hearing a girl talk. But she should at least be interested. They should have all the men bored and her like her hands up like listening like, wow.
Yeah, that could have worked. Then from there, we go back to the office, and it starts with Louise picking up the phone, and she's like, you know, research, and she's like, the average time for sex for humans is 2 minutes. Yes, that's with the partner. And then, like, I kind of wish I looked that up, because I wonder if that's true. Like, what is the average length for sexual intercourse?
Go ahead and look it up. You use incognito. I don't want that.
Oh, that's not an incognito question. First thing that pops up, average length of a baby. Average duration of sex. One study asked 500 couples to press a stopwatch at penetration and then at ejaculation for 1 month. Reported durations range between 33 seconds to 44 minutes, but the average for vaginal sex was 3 to 7 minutes. That seems short.
Yeah, real short. What were the age groups? Is it like a young? Was it like a young couple just started?
Gordo had that long pause. We're like, we both like that seemed kind of short, and Gordo's just like.
Oh, wow. That's my record.
Fucking marathon man over there. 3 minutes, huh?
3 to 7 minutes is the average. Huh. It's funny how like how much you could prioritize a whole day around something that would only last 3 to 7 minutes.
Yeah, I know, right?
Only for those nerds.
Yeah, nerds. Gordo,
you're talking in a way, you sound like the 40-year-old virgin right now. I know, right? You know, like when you grab a bag of sand?
Me love you long time.
Oh no, my internet keeps
me so
stopping.
Horny, me so stupid.
My internet keeps cutting out and you guys keep freezing. That's why I keep stopping.
Oh, that why?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now Jay walks in and he's trying to talk to Herman. And Herman's telling him, oh, I can't talk. I fell asleep last night. I only got to check one of my articles. He's like, I'm dead. And he's like, so what? Like, don't worry about it. Like, just send them in. He's like, what are the odds that this is going to be a mistake? And he's pretty much sure that, like, this is going to be the one time that, you know, the one time he doesn't actually check something is when there's going to be a big mistake. So he's super nervous about it. But in the conversation is also when he tells Herman that him and Connie had broken up. Obviously, we know that Herman already knows that because Connie was at the house and he has plans with her that night. So there's a super conflict here, right? Like, he's in this position where, regardless of whether or not they're friends, it does seem like an overstep. And it's weird because I get that Jay cheated on her, right? So that's obviously the reason there's problems and there's no justification for cheating. I'm not saying that. But on the flip, that's still like, it's still a weird overstep to then swoop in on your friend's ex. Like, and so
the
it's
next
weird
day?
To me. Yeah.
Even like time wise, it's they just broke up.
Yeah. And it sounds like the two of them are pretty close friends too. So like all the more so, like, I think there's a, you know, like with you guys, if, you know, if I wouldn't talk to any like of your exes, cause you're too close of friends. Yeah. Maybe if it was like an acquaintance, you could somehow justify it and go, well, we're not that close. And it was so many years ago and like whatever that, you know, they broke up because of this and so-and-so is happy now. But like, I don't know, a certain level of friendship is like a forever off limits list no matter what. And I feel like the two of them are there.
Yeah. Also, it's never even been confirmed that he actually cheated. This crazy bitch just went up to the girl and said, hey, I went out with your man.
That's also true.
And she didn't go and talk to him about it. She went to his best friend, which is also weird.
There's a lot of weird going on in this episode, for sure. The way that we get to this situation was kind of off. He's trying to, like, do something with him tonight, now that he's newly single, and like, oh, I can't, I'm busy tonight. Busy hanging out with his fucking girlfriend. He's like, oh, you have a date? He's like, well, he's like, no, that's great. Like, she got a friend? Ah, never mind. Like, you know, I'll get my own. I'll see you later. So he is, like, trying to, like, move on and, like, get with other girls right away. And he didn't seem super hung up on the breakup. He did seem like, at this time, excited at the prospect of dating again. But I don't know. I just can't get over the idea of dating your friend's ex by a matter of hours.
But he's just putting on a strong front and he's very hurt.
He's the one that hurt her.
We don't know that. Innocent until proven guilty.
I mean, I'm going to assume that he did in fact cheat, but I still don't think that justifies Herman going out with this girl.
Yeah.
There's enough actions in this episode that leads me to believe he did. Like when he just did right there and he
on
sees
the
two girls.
I think he's a nice dude throughout the whole episode, which leads me to believe that he wouldn't do that. He's a good friend to him the entire episode.
Well, he's a good friend to Herman regardless. Yeah, that's the thing. Regardless of whether or not he did something bad, he's good to Herman, which puts Herman in a weird spot if he's like interested in Connie.
And I'm just playing devil's advocate. I do think he did it. I'm just, you know, putting the question out there, putting it into the world.
But then he goes up to the girls outside of the elevator.
Yeah, he's single now. At this point, he's single. He can.
So they have to turn in all their work, by the way. And you have the other girl who, you know, the kiss-ass one who did everything alphabetized, you know, color-coded, all this stuff. And then you have his internal monologue just panicked because they know they didn't check all the articles properly. It's like, what do we do? And then you got Animal again with, we got some black bikini underwear. So it's like, that's how you seduce a girl? By you wearing the sexy underwear?
Now, has that ever worked in the history of guys?
It works.
Does it?
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I don't know.
To say, maybe I'm just not the body type, so that's never going to work with me. Like, I'm sure if you're like a model type, that might help, but, you know.
If you're a firefighter out there, let us know. Because that's the only, like, costume I can think of that would seduce a girl.
This is another situation, too, where by him mentioning the black bikini underwear, when he goes to talk to his boss, and it cuts back to him. He calls him Mr. Bikini instead of Mr. Bracken.
Mr. Bikini.
We did also have that justification from the lustful side of his brain that's saying, like, hey, they broke up and Jay wants her to be happy. So I say, you know, we wear the underwear. So this is how in his brain it's okay to go out with his friend's ex, is because the friend wants her to be happy. So he feels he can make her happy. So that's okay then.
And buy bikini underwear. Because we see in the next scene, he clearly went out and bought bikini underwear.
Got black underwear. They call it bikini underwear, but it's not really typical underwear for the time.
It did seem more like a dark brief cut, like a...
Yeah.
But yeah, we see him at... That was the next scene. We're at the apartment, and he did buy the underwear. He doesn't put it on. He's just, like, holding it up, like, while he's already fully dressed. So that was weird. But also, you know, as he's setting up dinner, like, he has candles and flowers. And we get in the internal, like, where eventually they kind of talk him out of having the candles and flowers out. But it does seem like a bit of a move, knowing that she's coming over for dinner, which, you know, it was correct. Like, I think Sensitivity said it earlier, like, that there was no indicator that this was, like, there was sexual, like, thoughts behind this when she came over. So to have, like, the candles and flowers out is very, this is a date.
Oh, 100%.
Like, she came over to vent to her friend.
Yeah.
A little girl talk, if you will.
Yeah.
And lust is winning here.
Well, yeah, because in that internal conflict and they're, you know, justifying how to go about this whole situation, lust talks about, you know, how he's been kind of fantasizing about how this was going to all work out. And this was kind of weird. Well, so it cuts to the fantasy. And what I didn't like is that the fantasy kind of plays out in this big empty fucking room that they're in, like the play almost like off to the side. And they just cut to like a big bright red, like filter over everything that made it hard to see what was going on.
Yeah, I couldn't make out what it was. I mean, in the quality that we watched it.
Yeah, not the best quality copy we got anyways, but they could have went about this effect better. I think they should have just had it like kind of the dream sequence-y thing, but had it still in the apartment.
Now, I would love to see more episodes of this show, even though we're talking a lot of shit, because I would like to know if this is a pilot thing with lack of money, or if this is how the entire show is.
How it evolves, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
This whole scene of the, like, the fantasy on his part, you see Connie walking out in, like a lingerie, and kind of like a, I mean, I guess when you think of other shows, it wasn't that overly revealing, but she was showing more than I expected her to show in this type of show.
Well, also too, this show seemed older than it actually is. So I was like, wow, this is really risque for the 80s.
It is until you realize it's 91 and you think of a show like a Married with Children, and like the idea of a girl being in lingerie on that show doesn't seem weird to you.
No.
So like, it's not out of the time, but in this show with the tone, I wasn't expecting her to be wearing as little as she was wearing.
Yeah.
You know, the fantasy starts until anxiety kicks in and talks about, like, you know, how he sees it going. And then, like, all of a sudden it just cuts to a blue filter over everything and she slaps him. He's like, what are you doing? Candles, flowers? And, you know, says he's a disgusting pig. Animals telling anxiety, you know something? You're a real downer. If we ever become impotent, you can take the bow.
I wonder why there's not, like, there should have been a fifth one for, like, anger and rage.
Yeah, there really should have been. Maybe they come later.
What made me think of it is when you said the red and blue filters, I thought, like, you know, good and bad, like, in anger and, like, happiness. There should have been one that was pissed off and, like, controlled all of his, like, other emotions of, like, anger.
Yeah, I think that goes back to when we said, like, the concept's there, but the execution isn't. It's like, you need, like, the basic idea of what the show could be, but you need to, like, rework it from the fucking ground up. You have to completely change a million different things about it. How it's shot, how it's presented, how we want to show what's going on in his head, how we're dividing up the roles, what we're calling them, like...
Yeah, man, listen. Herman's head walked so Inside Out could fly.
Exactly.
Or Osmosis Jones.
I never saw Osmosis Jones. That was the Chris Rock one?
That was also in the body, but it wasn't really emotions. It was just, like, the systems and cells and stuff. But I always compare them.
When we get back to the actual, like, scene, like, you know, Herman's real life, now he's throwing all the flowers and candles in the trash. The doorbell rings, and he opens up, and Connie's there. And she's impressed by, like, this, you know, just even without all the romantic stuff that got thrown away, just the him cooking dinner for her and all this stuff like that. And then we cut back into his brain, and as they're all starting to talk and, you know, analyze what's going on, Anxiety realizes that they forgot something, and that it's the mother's birthday.
Yeah, why was this represented with a weird cake?
It's his birthday.
Because this was filmed on a studio for a play, and they had a big prop cake for plays.
I thought what he was going to forget was to blow out the candles that he threw away, and it was going to start a fire in the trash. I was expecting it the whole time, and it just didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. The candles. That would have been good.
Yeah, I was surprised Anxiety wasn't worried about that.
Well, it seemed like a callback, because when he was talking about the being spanked by mom and stuff earlier, so then like when he was like, oh God, mom. And then the other one's like, I say, take off your dress and you think about mom. Like, you got serious personal problem now. They do almost allude that he has a weird mom thing.
I mean, ask Freud. Everybody does, apparently.
I'm going to say I don't, but if Freud feels otherwise.
Deep down in your subconscious.
It's weird too, like when he slips again and he mentions his mother, like, well, because they're saying it, he tells her in real life, like, oh, it's my mother's birthday. She's like, oh, is she joining us? Like, that wouldn't have been weird. Oh, and I invited my mom to come. Like, she said it in a way that seemed like very genuine. Like, oh, is she coming?
Yeah, because they're friends. That would have been normal. And this wasn't a date. It was a friendship hangout where she could talk.
A frinner, if you will. A friendship dinner.
Or just a dinner.
Centered around friendship.
In his head, you have that, like, the animal again saying, like, I say we nail her. And sensitivity's like, look, if we're going to get involved with Connie, there's only one way to handle it. Find the spiritual connection, treat her with honesty, respect, and sensitivity. And then we nail her. And I kind of like having the girl in his brain still, like, being on board with the, yeah, of course we're going to nail her.
Yeah.
It's like how Gordo alluded earlier. They are all him. And, like, you even see it when they forget the mother's birthday. They don't say, oh, we forgot his mother's birthday. They say, you forgot. You're thinking of mom. You're thinking of.
Yeah. We have to sneeze. It's always like stuff like that. They're part of it.
Yeah.
Which is well done.
For whatever reason, she ends up in the trash. I forget how we get to the fact that she's looking inside the trash barrel. But Connie notices the flowers and candles. It's like, what are they doing in the garbage? Herman, were those for me? It's like such a weird setup for her. You know, for her to even notice all this stuff and then to look into the trash and analyze what's in there and draw the conclusions. But
I should have said, no, they were from my mother. I just told you it's her birthday, but she's not coming.
That would have been a good way out of it.
Yeah, it would have.
But he is honest with her. And he's like, you know, I'm sorry I got carried away. I stopped thinking of you as a friend and started thinking of you as a woman. And she's like, a woman? Why would you think of me as a woman? Which I thought was really weird writing. And he goes, I don't know, the hair, the breasts. I get weird, just a weird thing to say to a girl, regardless. But she asks, like, hey, were you planning to make a move on me? And he's like, no. And then when he says no, the microwave pops open where he was hiding the bikini underwear.
Okay, I wasn't positive what that was.
Yeah, that's where he hid the underwear.
Yeah, that's where he hid it. Because he didn't put them on for some odd reason.
Now if he puts them on, they'll be nice and toasty.
This is where he comes clean, and he's like, you know, Connie, the truth is I like you, and I've always liked you. And he says, since the first night we met, I couldn't take my eyes off you. You were wearing that funny floppy gray hat, and I just thought you were the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. And then they kiss, and then pull away. This is a mistake. You knew how this was going to go. Like, this is a mistake. We shouldn't be doing this. I agree, absolutely. And then they kiss again. And then she goes, give me just 1 minute. And she heads over into his room.
A weird excuse to get her out of the room for this next scene, because it's really weird that she just leaves to put on one of his shirts.
Well, did you guys see the apartment? Did you guys make any notes? This is definitely a studio, because you could see his bed behind the couch. So the only way for her, there's only like one of two ways for her to leave, and that's to use the bathroom or to leave the apartment.
I mean, the whole, like, I'm going to go, like, freshen up or whatever, like, you kind of know what it is. I mean, she's slipping into something more comfortable.
What I mean is there was no reason for that. It was just to get her out of the room so Hank Azaria could come to the door, which is what happens.
Of course,
next.
Yeah, she needs to be distracted for a moment. But before that even happens, we get, like, in the head again, and you have that whole, this is when the, in, like the intellect guy is like, condoms, don't forget the condoms. And that's like when he's like going through the drawer and stuff like that.
You think he has 8 condoms or 7? I don't remember the line from Undeclared.
Undeclared, 8 condoms, yeah.
Yeah.
When he's looking for the condoms is when, you know, Jay knocks on the door and he's like, hey, I got to talk to you. And he's saying, he recognizes like, oh, you're on your date. I forgot. Like, where is she? Like, meanwhile, it's his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, whatever, who's now in the other room, slipping into something more comfortable. He's like, oh, all right, I'll make it quick. Like, you know, have you seen Connie? Like, I can't find her. And he's like, oh, I thought you didn't care about her anymore. It's like, well, you know, I was kidding myself. I can't stop thinking about her. Like, I think I love her. And, you know, I want to tell her, like, I'm really sorry. If you see her, let her know that.
Yeah, they must have been, like, good friends, like we talked about earlier. Because if he came there even looking for her, and if you see her, he'd assume that he'd see her. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
So they might have, but all, you know, they might have been friends, and then she entered the group, and then he's the one who made the move. But yeah,
probably like a How I Met Your Mother kind of thing, where the two of them are getting married, but they're all friends with each other.
And he's saying, yeah, if I see her, you know, I'll let her know. He's like, thanks, man, you're a good friend. And
then, no, he's not.
I mean, yeah, it's a weird. That's gonna be, if you go forward with it at that point, you're gonna be like a special kind of terrible human being, right?
Yeah.
Especially like you can disconnect, and you're already in a questionable situation, but. Now that your buddy showed up at the house and was talking to you like moments before, like she comes back out, like if that's not enough to stop you there, like that's rough.
He said he loves her, not just an emotionless thing.
Which shows that they're friends, because if they were just acquaintances, you'd be like, okay, sir.
Yeah. So now there's that internal conflict again. And, you know, Animal is really pitching hard for like the whole, like, we could just tell her in 20 minutes. Like, we don't have to tell her right now what happened. We could tell her the truth, just not yet. And then Connie walks out, and she's just, like, wearing, like, just, like, a button-up, like, one of his, like, button-up work shirts or whatever. She's like, I saw this in a Doris Day movie. What do you think? I mean, she looked good. I mean, even just in a baggy shirt. She's a cute girl.
Yeah. Agreed.
And you have, you know, back in the head, and the dude's like, no, please, I'm begging you. They're all trying to, like, no, she has to know, she has to know. And then as she's getting close, he's like, you know, Connie, I have something to tell you. I can't do this. And she's going, you know, sometimes that happens. Like, we could just hold each other. He's like, no, I can do that. He's like, Jay was here and he was looking for you. It's like, really? What'd he say? And then, like, she just kind of guessed everything along the way. He didn't have to say a word. Like, he made a mistake and he still loves me and he wants to talk to me. Like, so she still does love him as well.
You know, it's funny. From now on, that friendship's ruined.
Yep.
Her and him.
Yeah.
That is just going to be awkward forever. And now
they're in an awkward situation, and now he's got to forever worry about, does she ever tell Jay that even the little bit that did happen, like we kissed and stuff like that. Like, cause even that's enough to like ruin that friendship now forever.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
And then even Connie's like, you know, you didn't have to tell me all this. Like, you could have waited until after. He's like, it crossed my mind. So even she's like, dummy, why didn't you bang me first and then tell me about this? Interesting, for sure, that she even kind of proposed it in that way.
Yeah, I don't know. There's so many plot holes.
I mean, that's the other thing. Like, how well fleshed out are these characters in real, you know? Like,
yeah, I'm going to chalk this up to a pilot.
It's weird because, like, it doesn't flag me as bad writing as like, compared to other shows we've done. Like, last week we did Extended Family, and it was like, wow, this is riddled with terrible writing. This is also kind of doing that, but not, I don't know, like it also has plot holes and stuff, but it doesn't seem as bad to me in a way. I don't know if the expectations are just lower when you're watching a show like this, so.
Yeah, I don't even think that was bad writing, though. I think she's not saying, oh, I wish you banged me. I'm saying, I think she's just surprised that he did the right thing where most men wouldn't, in her eyes.
You said you could have waited, like, you know. Not like I'm surprised you didn't wait.
Yeah, but that's such a tricky line.
Yeah, I think it's just an exclamation of course, of course shock it is, that he did.
But,
like,
but I am under the assumption that she was kind of, I wish you didn't tell me this, like, until later. Like, she kind of wanted to. So she would have liked to have, you know, if I didn't know, we could have did this, and then afterwards I'd sort the rest out.
Yeah, it seems like she wanted to do it.
Yeah, because after she says that, you get back into the head, and you just see Animal basically like being tied down by the other three, and like they're holding like the ropes, and he's just like crying, like gagged. Like, no.
Which, again, like, how do they interact in his brain? You know what I mean? Like, which, how do they know which one, like, works?
Like a majority rules type of thing?
Yeah.
I just think it's like, it's not like, you have to stop thinking about it in terms of, like, one of them gets to overrule the rest. It's like real life. When you're talking in, like, when things are going on in your head, you're not thinking of one linear thing. You have multiple, like, sides that you're going through at all times in your brain, and you end up just picking one. It's like different parts of your brain are stating their case, but ultimately you make that final decision, and that's what they're kind of representing. It's just those different pieces of your brain, but ultimately you as a whole make the decision. So it's not like there's going to be a voting process or anything like that. It's just the different perspectives that are going on in your mind at the time.
Deep.
Yeah, just as the show intended it to be, of course.
That's why this went multiple seasons.
That's why I got the three seasons, yeah. So now we're back at the office. As Herman's walking in, he finds out, like, shit's going down. Like, his two bosses are both, like, in the office. You know, the main boss, he's pissed, Mr. Crawford, and he's talking to Mr. Bracken because a big error was made, and it wasn't discovered until the article went to print.
I'm sorry, but what kind of newspaper is this that they're putting out articles like you're about to bring up? And earlier she's on the phone talking about sex duration.
A lot of magazines have stuff out like that. Like Cosmopolitan would have that. And it's funny, like guy and girl magazines all have those kind of articles in them.
GQ.
Especially sex duration and stuff like that. I would say maybe the plague stuff. What kind of magazine has all these different things in it? That's getting a little, you know, what's your lane here? But that's not like the sex thing isn't weird.
Oh man, this topic is Danish people's balls, a testicle.
Danish testicles. Because what we find out is they come out and they're asking like, who's supposed to verify the world anthropologist articles? And Herman's like, oh, that was me. And that's when he's like, I knew it'd be you. Clear your desk. And he's like, wait a minute, because then Mr. Bracken's like, Herman's like one of our best guys here. Like, I trust him. If he said he checked it, he checked it.
Yo, I love Mr. Brackett.
He did stand up for him right there.
He did.
So then we find out that for whatever reason, the article says that the average weight of Danish man's testicles is 24 ounces. So that's, you know, a pound and a half of nuts.
Now, do you guys know the average? I couldn't find Danish.
I knew you were Googling nuts. It because as Jay was talking to you, you typing away.
The average testicle weight is 15 to 19 ounces.
Good to know.
Grams. See, I made the mistake.
Oh, my God. You're going to get fired.
I mean, probably, you know.
You know what's funny is, like, so when that came out, like, and when he's explaining the mistake in the article, that is when, I think it was Intellect, he's like, testicle, wait a minute, we checked that. Like, he did remember it. So that's when Herman's like,
that's the MacGuffin. The only one he did was the one that they checked. It's like,
well, yeah, but they did at least, they did make it known that there was one that he did check. So it works out. You know, it's just that. So now he's checking through his pages to like verify. And he's like, yeah, look, in the article I have, it says grams, 24 grams. So something went on when it went to the printers, but I passed in a final article that said 24 grams.
I feel like that wouldn't vindicate him. He could have made that error. Bill.
I think he's saying this is a copy of what I submitted though.
I thought no, he just showed the book with the fact. There's no proof that what he submitted.
Oh, I thought he was checking his article.
No.
No, it was a book.
Which I was like, how does that change? Like, you just made a mistake.
I was under the impression he was checking his work. Like, this is what I submitted.
But it just automatically became, oh, it must have been printing. It's like, no, it could have been his fuck up. But they went with it. It worked. Fake it till you make it, I guess.
Oh, Mr. Crawford's like, you know, you handle yourself really well under pressure. You're going to make a name for yourself, Sherman. He gets his name wrong a couple times in the episode. Because they even say when they get back into the head, it was like the odds of that were staggering. So they knew they escaped one on that.
Well, I do like how in that interaction to the Intellect, they were like, what do we do? What do we do? And they were like, lie. And they were like, no, we have to tell the truth. And he was like, nope, lie. And you wouldn't expect that from the Intellect. It's a calculated, I guess, risk.
Yeah.
Just a different dynamic, different layer of the onion known as Herman's head.
Jay walks up to Herman. He's like, hey, do you have a minute? Like, I just want to let you know that Connie and I got back together. Like, oh, that's great. He's like, yeah, but now I've got some competition. She was out with this unbelievable guy last night. She said it was the most romantic night of her life. And it's like, again, I mean, why'd you tell him that?
Right? Now you can't trust that. If they get in a fight, she ain't gonna be like, well, I almost banged your friend, you asshole. Like,
but to even like dangle that, like, hey, I went on a date last night and he was the greatest guy I've ever gone on a date with right before you get back with him. Like, what a weird, what are you trying to accomplish there?
Trying to hold it over his head. Herman's head, if you will.
Ah. But yeah, he's like, yeah, I'm in trouble. You should have heard her. Like, I'm never going to live up to this guy. And I kind of thought, like, I wonder if they're going to try to like prolong the storyline and see where it goes and like maybe eventually find a way for the two of them to find one another. But Connie's only in this one episode. I was looking at it afterwards. So kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Oh, she's okay. Not a main character?
No.
Oh,
he's
wow.
He's only credited, unless a different person plays Connie afterwards, the actress who plays her, when I looked up her like IMDb page, said she was only in one episode of the show.
And what was the point? God damn
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she only did one episode of Herman's Head, so.
She was the main story of this episode, and she's only in this episode.
I agree, it's weird.
That makes me angry.
They had to get the big catch from Spirit Witch show.
I can't remember when that one came out. Well, this was 1991, and Free Spirit came out.
When did Pond Scum's album come out?
Free Spirit came out in 1989, so this was 2 years after.
Can you believe it? We got the Free Spirit girl.
We got the spirit from Free Spirit.
Oh, she wasn't a spirit. She was a witch, and that's what angered me about that show.
There was a lot of holes. Show kind of closes with that girl, Hetty, walking up to Herman's desk, and he's like, oh, do you mind? Like, this is kind of personal. And you see him get on the phone. It's like, hey, glad I caught you at home. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I was sorry about yesterday. All right, I just want to let you know that I'm thinking about you. Happy birthday, Mom. So, oh, he's not talking to Connie. Oh, it's Mom.
Also, dick move. Why didn't he call his mother when Connie left? She left pretty early because the cock block happened.
And then it closes with the four people in his brain all blowing out those birthday candles. But yeah, he let his mom go the whole day. When he was aware it was her birthday, he didn't even give her a phone call.
Maybe it was too late.
No, she got there and left right away because Hank Azaria came.
Yeah, she was gone pretty early.
They didn't have their whole date or anything. She showed up and left.
Maybe he had to rub one out.
That's true. He probably had some blue balls after all that.
I mean, I still think you could maybe squeeze out a quick phone call.
Well, I mean, the average length is like 3 minutes, so.
For a J.O.? No, that's a totally different thing, but you'd have to Google that separately.
No, you don't have to look it up. It's not important to the show.
I'm kind of tempted to look
you
it up.
You know what? I'll just do it. All right. How long?
This is what our audience wants.
It says, on average, it takes most males around 5 to 10 minutes to ejaculate during masturbation.
See, I thought the sex was too short, but I think the 5 minutes is too long.
I agree. I'm glad you said that because it was in my head for sure. I'm like, that seems awful long.
This says duration can vary from 5 minutes to 150 minutes.
What the fuck article are you reading, 150 minutes?
Garbage.
No, what article said 150 minutes?
Are you on that weird Wikipedia that you go on?
The weird Wikipedia. No, it says, go ahead, touch yourself, 8 things to know for masturbation month.
But no one's jerking off for 2.5 hours straight.
Duration can vary from 5 minutes to 150 minutes. That's according to the incredibly small sample size of one Reddit user touching for science has been timing his
That's just one dude who jerks off and talks about it on Reddit. Yeah,
he's been timing his masturbation session since February 24, 2013. The 21-year-old has 379 masturbation sessions over the past year, and this article was written in 2016. And they show a plot point. This dude is like,
I think he's lying. He never went that long. I don't know this guy, but I don't like him.
I'm going to go ahead and say that this doesn't sound right to me. Yeah. I don't believe in this idea that this guy once jerked off for 2.5 hours straight.
That's not how you do it. You'd have 500 people do it, and then you survey the average of how long it took each of them. You wouldn't have one guy do it, and then...
And you watch each and every one of them do it to verify.
Yeah, I don't... Listen, I pulled up The Guardian. The Guardian...
The Guardian is bullshit.
I'm gonna call bullshit, too. This seems a little off.
I'm surprised that they couldn't get in touch with, like, a science center, and they had to find a guy named Touching for Science on Reddit.
Yeah, because you're reading a clickbait article. This isn't, like, a reputable source.
Yeah, this strikes 2 and 3 right there, that they found him on Reddit. You know the fucking lies and weird shit I've seen on Reddit?
Exactly. Like, yeah. Yeah, but according to Touching for Science, he's doing it for over 2 hours.
Well, in any event, we don't even think Herman actually fucking JOs. This is just a wild assumption that we've rolled with. So the episode just ends with a sweet call to his mother to wish her happy birthday.
You want to look at it as a sweet call. I think it's an asshole call because he didn't call the day before.
I agree.
And he went late into the day. He's in the middle of work and he called her. He got up in the morning and called her.
With all that in mind, with the episode now being over, how do you fix this show?
You gotta sink a little more budget into those head scenes. They all need their own area, not just black, like you alluded to. You need to kind of... I would like a certain command center to see whatever one wins, they get to speak into that or control that. I just need an explanation of how it works.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Maybe a cut scene would be better, like a way to sort of transform into the brain.
I just didn't like that they looked like they were being shot like completely different, but not in a way that like, oh, two different worlds. It looked like, you know, one was plucked from local access and the other one was a sitcom, and like they just like spliced in the clips. It didn't look like it belonged in the episode, like when you look at it.
I kind of liked that though, that it was a one shot for the head and then like a 3-camera sitcom for Herman.
I also think for a show where it's your pilot, you shouldn't have me think your main character is a fucking scumbag like I did for a majority of the episode.
That too. I think there was a big issue there where, again, I acknowledge that Jay cheated and that by default is supposed to just make him the villainous one in this like love triangle. But to have it pan out the way it did, and to have it so he was going to make a move on his buddy's girl like the next day, like it just, it all felt off.
If you're going to do that, you got to make Jay be his rival, not his friend. Like they compete for a job.
Like, yeah, the girl, like, so he should have been in the role that girl Hetty was in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
That kind of shit would have fixed it. It would have been fine.
If he was the office dickhead and then Connie was... You know, even though he's not friends with the guy, him and Connie grew up together as friends and like they went to school together. Like, yeah, then it all makes sense.
And then the end would have a little bit more like he's a good person to it, because even though he hates the guy, he does the right thing and tells her that he showed up, you know, sends her to his enemy. Like, then it's like, oh, he's got a heart of gold. He did the right thing, even though he can't stand this asshole. Like,
yeah, he did the right thing. You could have had the whole episode played the exact same way, too. Just fix that one little thing, and bingo bongo, it's done.
Bingo bongo.
Bingo bongo.
So, in any event, I think, I don't know, I mean, although we got through it a little quicker than other episodes lately, but that's probably because it's three of us, I don't think there's much left to do other than do the green light or cancel. So, again, we're missing two guys, so you're going to have to go to our Instagram and X at S1E1Pod to see the final scores, because I don't think, unless we all go the same direction, I guess there is a chance that we could be having a definitive vote at the end of this. But regardless, check out our socials either way, because that's where you'll see how the other two voted and then all the clips and stuff that we post. So, you know, do it regardless, S1E1Pod. But yeah, to get into the vote, I'll go in the order I'm seeing you guys in. Gordo, starting with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's a interesting concept. I don't think it was executed correctly. Part of me is really curious to see a second episode to see how this progresses. But I mean, I know myself, I wouldn't watch a second episode. So I'm going to cancel. Yeah, I'm just going to cancel this. Like, I'm on the fence because it's a good concept, but like just poor execution, you know, cancel.
Ferg.
Yeah, I'm Couldn't say it better myself. Yeah, great concept. You've seen it work better with Inside Out. They did a bad job with it. I'm sure the show gets better. It wouldn't have gotten multiple seasons. To pull the current back a little, I watched Extended Family, the rest of it, and we all hated that show, and that show really grew on me. I hate watched the whole thing, and by the end, I was love watching it. So, shows do get better once they're past the pilot, and that's, I think, what this show obviously does, or it wouldn't have gotten multiple seasons. But we are only grading on this episode, so it's getting a hard cancel from me, because this was a tough watch. It was like 22, 23 minutes. I felt like it was an hour. This was a drag to watch, and it just made me angry. Angry the entire time. So, like I said, hard cancel. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say that when we started talking about it, it made me hate the show less than when I watched it originally, but I still think that this is legitimately up there as one of the worst shows we've covered. Like, for Exed, I mean, it did go 3 seasons, so, I mean, there must be something there. There must be a reason that it carried on. I'd at least like to believe that. if they went that long. Just, it was not for me. Poor execution. Could definitely be reworked. You could reboot this show today and probably just do it much better. Yeah, it's going to be a no for me, dog. So, as a matter of fact, the only circumstance at which we could have a definitive vote is if all 3 of us agreed. We did. So, sorry to Herman's head. You do not live on to see an episode 2 with us. Again, I want to remind you guys, go to s1e1pod.com. That's where you can find all the links to where to listen to us, our social medias, all that stuff. Hit us up. We like to talk to you guys. I want to know shows that you want us to cover. How did you find us? General chit chat. Hit us up. It's been really nice meeting you guys along the way. But yeah, with all that in mind, thanks again for listening. Catch us next week with another new episode. Till then, thank you. Goodbye.
I think we got the best elevator sneeze, which should have been a fart, in Gordo's brain.